I'm Molly Ingram, and I cover Connecticut for WSHU Public Radio. Staying well informed is essential to a strong democracy. Understanding the facts and cutting through the noise takes work. At WSHU, our mission is to help you do just that with coverage from our newsroom, NPR, and the BBC. Your financial support makes it all possible. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut invests $10 billion to address pension debt. Governor Hochul tackles a mountain of bills as the year comes to a close here. Mystic Aquarium says new tech is improving care for their animals. Plus, the program reshaping recovery, one workout and conversation at a time. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut has put about $10 billion toward paying off its pension obligations over the last 5 years, according to two reports released this week. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
State Treasurer Eric Russell says the funds grew by $2.3 billion this year due to strong investment performance and the billions of dollars in state contributions.
What we've seen is not only an impact on the pension fund, but we've seen numerous credit rating upgrades here in the state.
State Comptroller Sean Scanlon says the pension obligations are now nearly two-thirds funded, up from less than a third a decade ago.
What that really, really means is that $857 million of new money underneath the spending cap is available for the governor and the legislature to use on things like making Connecticut more affordable.
But Governor Ned Lamont says he's cautious about spending the money.
And I can use those in a way like we're doing for early childhood education, like we're doing to make up for some of the Trump tax cuts. But you got to worry about using very volatile revenues for long-term operating expenses.
The money comes from the 2017 budget agreement, which ordered that excess revenue from stock market windfalls be put into the rainy day fund, and any further excesses be used to pay down the pension debt. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is working through dozens of bills that arrived on her desk this week. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vielkind reports.
Measures to require safeguards on artificial intelligence and increase oversight of state prisons are among roughly 150 bills now waiting for the Democratic governor's signature or veto. In some instances, Hochul is trying to negotiate amendments to bills that could win her approval. The governor has already signed more than 600 bills this year and vetoed almost 80. She says that now is crunch time.
Looking at all the bills, I've got a lot of bills to look at the next few weeks.
Hochul has a policy of not commenting on how she will act or on negotiations about possible changes. In a statement this week, she confirms she wants amendments to the prison oversight bill. Hochul must act on that bill by Friday, December 19th. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Mystic Aquarium is celebrating the purchase of a new piece of medical equipment they say will improve care for aquatic animals. The New England News Collaborative's Chris Polanski has more.
The acquisition of the $600,000 CT scanner was made possible by a federal grant. Senior veterinarian Dr. Molly Martini says it makes advanced imaging possible on site, as opposed to sending animals to other facilities.
There can be limitations to ultrasound or x-rays of certain different species' anatomy and physiology. And so what's really cool is we can look inside things like a clam or a shark in a way that we haven't previously been able to look at them with these CT images.
Martini says the scanner will be used both for animals that are part of the collection and animals that come to the aquarium for specialized care, like endangered penguins and sea turtles. She says previously animals requiring CT scans would sometimes be sent to human hospitals. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Chris Polanski.
Move to Heal blends mental health, fitness, and nutrition to help people recover and thrive. We'll hear how coming up. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose. The city of Glen Cove is the first community in Nassau County to ban smoking marijuana anywhere in public. Fines will be as high as $250. Other Long Island towns have restrictions in place, like bans at parks, beaches, or town property. Stamford Mayor Caroline Simmons vetoed an ordinance to ban the sale of dogs and cats in pet shops in the city. That would have been the first in the state. She said it's in conflict with state law, which allows pet sales at licensed shops. All but one city representative had voted in favor. Five Suffolk County towns will get $7 million from the state for highway safety improvements. It's part of a $32 million statewide initiative to help local governments reduce accidents on state roads. Crashes on state highways account for a third of roadway fatalities on Long Island. Connecticut health officials are warning about a surge in neurovirus cases as a contagious variant spreads. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
National data shows neurovirus spiking in pockets around the country, according to the CDC. The variant has become the dominant strain in the U.S. since it was first identified in 2022. Public health experts say the variant of neurovirus is a gastrointestinal disease that can be transmitted through surfaces. Public health officials say symptoms of the disease include vomiting and diarrhea, and it can last around 3 days. The virus isn't typically fatal, but it can dangerously dehydrate a patient. Patients can be contagious for days after symptoms are gone. Doctors advise people to wash hands, clean surfaces, and be vigilant for any signs or symptoms. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Move to Heal is a wellness program that combines mental health counseling with nutrition and exercise to help people achieve long-term recovery from all of life's challenges. They partner with gyms throughout Connecticut and other states to offer free and subsidized services and a welcoming space for everyone who needs it. WSHU's Randy Kay spoke with co-founder Allie Hirschman about the program and its mission. It's part of the WSHU series, Good at Heart.
Who does Move to Heal help and how?
Absolutely. The short answer is everyone. Move to Heal consists of a workout that is for all fitness levels, whether you're an avid gym goer or you're someone that hasn't been to the gym in a minute. It's totally fine.
That's me. I'm in the second category, not the first one.
Yes. Well, we cater to everybody. And after the workout, we gather for a support meeting and go over just different topics that everyone can relate to. And it is magic what happens in those rooms. It's a beautiful thing.
As a person who loves the art, I know that music and movement have their own language. Mm-hmm. And your mission on your website is to enhance health for all individuals facing all forms of mental health issues, addiction, depression, other life challenges by offering, I mean, you didn't even say this, free group exercise. And yes, as you said, support meetings, nutritional coaching, mental health counseling, and gym membership subsidized at some locations. So it sounds like a wonderful vision, a wonderful mission. So Allie, can you give me a version of the story as to how this came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is in psychology. I am a licensed therapist, and my father, Ethan Hirschman, and Colleen Delaney, our other co-founder, there's three of us, we all came together and we all have different backgrounds. I have the psychology background. My dad has a background. He's a little over 30 years in recovery from drugs and alcohol. And then Colleen has a incredible fitness background. And we wanted to blend all things together, meaning how can we merge mental health and physical health into one to create a one size fits all type of workout program and support meeting afterwards.
Just to clarify for a second, so your dad, 30 years in recovery, that's amazing. Was he personally finding that movement and exercise was helping him in his recovery? Was that the spark that drew this?
Absolutely. So once he started in recovery, he started to get very serious about his fitness and his health. And he realized that fitness, going to the gym, having that community, going to therapy, having nutritional counseling, all of these different aspects were helping him stay sober day after day, month after month, year after year. I actually wrote my thesis in grad school on how anxiety and depression can be lessened and treated through movement. And we kind of took all of this together and we said, we need to bring this to life and offer this to people. And even if just one person is impacted by this, we've done our job. And we have anywhere between 2,500 to 3,000 people attending Move to Heal every single month across all of our locations.
What locations do you serve?
We're in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and we just opened our first location in Florida.
I do know that recently you were here at Sacred Heart University, where our campus is, and you do some work with college students. Is that true?
Yes, we do. We hold meetings and workouts every week for students, faculty, and staff. And I cannot stress the importance of Move to Heal in a college campus, especially at that age, which can be a very vulnerable age, people attending college. And we have had tremendous success, so much so that we actually just started a Move to Heal program at the University of Rhode Island as well.
What are ways that people can help Move to Heal?
So Move to Heal relies solely on donations to fund all of our services. Donating is a great way, but just spreading the word as well. We have different fundraisers that we do throughout the year, whether they're through Move to Heal or through the individual gyms. We do a ton on social media, just trying to share our message and get the word out. We want to try to impact as many people as we can and get the program in front of anyone that we can, really, that needs it.
What's the best advice you ever got or a quote that sparked you? Is there anything you'd like to pass on as to why you do this work and what inspires you to keep going?
I love the quote, cracks are how the light gets in. And I think that if you go to a Move to Heal session and you do the workout and you are sweating next to the person, you know, next to you, you're high-fiving, you're completing that, you're sitting down, you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable, to show some of those cracks that we all have. Sometimes it's just a nod across the room of someone seeing you and hearing you or talking to you afterwards or giving you feedback or just a safe space to share what's on your mind and in your heart. It is so therapeutic. We have had people email us, come up to us and say, Move to Heal has saved my life. And I'm sorry, I get a little emotional even when I say that, because 4 years ago when we started this, we just knew that this formula worked for us, for my dad, for myself, for Colleen. And the more people we can reach by doing interviews like this or talking about it or social media, whatever it may be, it could be a lifeline for somebody. So we're always trying to expand our reach, expand our impact. And I'm just really proud of what we've created and the community.
So your services are where in Connecticut?
We're in Brantford, New Haven. We're kind of scattered throughout, and we're at different CrossFit locations, Orange Theory. So any gym that has a group element to it is where we can host a Move to Heal.
My last question, why do you think we are here on Earth?
That is such a great question. And I think we're here on Earth to help each other, to be safe spaces for each other, and to help one another become the best versions of oneself so we can live the most fulfilling life.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or with our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And for even more from us, Instagram is the place to be. We would love to connect with you on there. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.